This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, we can look just over the horizon, and it's coming, it's coming, it's getting closer and faster. It's the holiday season.
I love the holidays, but there is some anxiety there because there's just so much.
You know, so much what?
So much everything.
So much everything.
It's busy. It's busy with outside activities. It's busy with inside activities. You got to worry about the relatives and the in-laws and the outlaws. And you've got to get the food planned. And it's just big. It's really big. But, you know.
Is that a bad thing?
No, it's not. I love the holidays. No. But it's really easy in the midst of the chaos and the busyness to lose focus on why we're celebrating.
Well, you know, some people just say, well, we shouldn't celebrate any holidays.
I know, and that's fine. You know, the Word of God tells us that some celebrate holidays and some don't, mm-hmm. and each person just needs to do what they believe is right.
Right. But for those of us, which really is the majority of us, who do celebrate holidays, I think there's a good way and there's a not so good way. And it's easy for us, like you say, to lose sight of the better way, the right reason to celebrate, the reason that we remember things.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing for me. That's why I like celebrating holidays, because it's so easy in the midst of our crazy life to forget to tell these things to our children.
Yeah.
To forget to pass on these ideas, these concepts, this history, these traditions, to pass on especially our faith in the Lord. And we mm-hmm. want to, you know, the holidays are just a great time to remember. We've got stories we've got to tell our kids.
You know, the word holiday is really derived from the concept of a holy day.
That's right.
That's where it comes from. And it's important to remember that holidays are established in the Bible, and the concept of a day set aside to remember God's dealings in history.
And there, you know, when I'm reading actually in Numbers right now, mm-hmm. and I was just reading about some of the feast days that the Lord established in ancient Israel, and that was it. The point was to tell the story,
yeah.
to make sure that you passed on to your kids what God had done and also what God was going to do.
Yeah. And, you know, I always think about when we start talking about holidays, I always think about the passages in the Old Testament where God established feast and said, you are to observe these as a memorial, as a time
yeah.
to remember. You know, in Exodus chapter 12, God establishes the observance of Passover before the event. And he mm-hmm. said, you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. You know, when you come into the land, that the promised land, when all of this is in the rearview mirror, so to speak, God says to observe these things forever. And it says, And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. That was part of it,
yeah.
is to say, you're going to have this feast, you're going to have this special meal, you're going to have this solemn celebration every year, and your children are going to say why. And you tell them this story.
And see, I think that's what we're in danger of losing, especially Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the most incredible holiday because it really has not been as commercialized as some of the others. There's not a bunch of weird traditions tacked onto it that don't really have much basis in the Christian celebration. And yet, it's still, we've managed to let it devolve into stuffing the turkey, then stuffing ourselves.
Yeah.
And then sitting around watching parades and football on TV.
Yeah, it's kind of our annual festival of carbohydrates.
You know, and feasting is all right. I think we need to make that plain.
You know, that is. And that's something that we lose track of. And I think we shortchange the celebration so much when we come into it with hang-ups about, you know, I'm on this special diet. Okay, if you've got a medical reason, sure. But, you know, people that are just losing weight because they want to lose weight or whatever, and they get all hung up about the stuff. You know, it's interesting, in the book of Nehemiah, when the Jews were returning to Jerusalem and rebuilding the city there, and they had a special time of observance where Nehemiah and Ezra brought out the books of the law and said, now that we're back in the city of God, let's read over the law of God. And the people were just overwhelmed. They worshiped, but they were overwhelmed and were weeping at hearing the word of God spoken out to them in God's country again. And Nehemiah and the priest told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, feasting has its place.
You know, and it always annoys me, you know, when you, every time we have a big feast day holiday, you'll see this, you know, 8 ways to reduce the fat in Thanksgiving, 9 ways to low carb Christmas. You know what? I really appreciate that. I'm working on being on a low carb diet myself. But you know what? Thanksgiving is not my problem.
Not for the one day.
No.
Not for the one, and not for the one day plus some leftovers. I mean, it's not like we're going to enter a 6-month period of bloat. We're not going to do that. But for one day when we say we're going to celebrate God, the richness of God's goodness by eating rich food, and precisely because it's a change.
And without guilt. You know,
there is no guilt.
Instead of one thing we don't allow in our house is to sit around and say, I shouldn't have eaten that. I was so wrong to eat that. No, it was a feast and you did right. You ate, you enjoyed it, and let's thank God for it.
And that's right. That, you know, there's so many things that the Bible says that are sanctified by our thanksgiving to God for receiving his blessings. And so, but you're right. You know, the holiday of Thanksgiving is something which is specifically set aside as an observance of thankfulness to God. It's not like we're going to sit around and celebrate the virtue of being thankful people, but to say, no, we are going to give thanks to God.
Yes.
Because God has blessed us in this country.
And you know what? There's some tremendous history that it has never been more important that we pass down to our kids surrounding Thanksgiving. Because we live in a time when people are trying to say that Christianity has no place in the public square, that it's offensive to even wish somebody a Merry Christmas, you know, that we're supposed to keep our religion hidden. And yet, and they're trying to say, you know, that's what it means to be free to be in America. That's not what it means to be free. You know, free speech means I have a right to be offended, you know, that people can offend me and I can offend them because we're going to all be free to say what we believe.
Right. You know, that's an interesting thing. If you compare, if you want to say the principles that drove the American Revolution, the idea of the freedom to hold our beliefs and to practice our beliefs, and as opposed to, say, the principles behind the French Revolution, which in many ways was, let's overturn the church, let's overturn the representatives of Christianity and be a secular society, and aggressively so. That's not the American way. That's not the American heritage.
No.
And we need to remember that as we go into Thanksgiving. You know, what are we being thankful for? Well, yes, we're thankful for the blessings we received the previous year. Definitely, let's go over those. But remembering why we set aside this day in particular as a commemoration of God's favor as this country was established. You know, we're thinking about what are some of the things about the original meaning of Thanksgiving as the celebration of the Plymouth Colony, the Pilgrims?
We have to remember the Pilgrims that came here were originally practically run out of England because they were nonconformists. They didn't submit to the state church at the time. They wanted to worship God in their own way. And they fled to the Netherlands, which had freedom of religion. But they realized that their kids were growing up in a very worldly society, and they wanted them to be taught the Word of God. They wanted them to be raised in Christian homes and Christian society, and so they came to the New World.
That's right. And, you know, what you heard as a child is absolutely true. They came seeking the freedom to practice their religious beliefs, not just to hold their religious beliefs.
Some of these people probably did not hear this as children, because things have changed since we were kids.
Well, that's a good point. Okay. Well, that's a very important principle to bring in. You know, what is the First Amendment to the Constitution? The first item in the Bill of Rights is the freedom of religion and religion as practice, not just hold to a belief, but to live out beliefs.
And you know what? The interesting thing is that harkens back to the very first governing document written here in the New World.
The Mayflower Compact.
Yes, the Mayflower Compact was the first written document in what would become our country.
And I think it's an interesting story, too, because not only was it the first, but it was an agreement between devout believers and non-believers.
Yes.
Because the group that came over on the Mayflower were not 100% Puritans. They weren't Puritans at all. They were the Pilgrims, which is a different group, actually. They were not all devout religious practitioners, if you will. They were not all Christians. But they were a group that came together to settle in the New World for the opportunity for freedom of worship and also for, you know, other opportunities that would come from being in a fresh start environment. And they came together before they landed and drew up an agreement. We're going to govern ourselves. We're all under the authority of King James. We acknowledge that. But there's no royal governor here. There's no prince to oversee us. There's no nobility that's going to run the show. We are going to govern ourselves, and these are the basic principles of how we agree to be governed by one another.
Yeah.
And that's a radical, radical thing that they drew up there, and that was the first, that really was the foundation of the concept of self-government free citizens who respected one another's rights and liberties.
Yes, free self-government with the freedom to worship, the freedom to serve God. And when we tell our children the history behind these people that celebrated the first Thanksgiving in America, we are passing on the principles that this country was founded on. You know, that may be your contribution to America staying a free country.
You know, I think there's another thing that needs to be mentioned here. Those who want to rewrite that history are often portray the Pilgrims as invaders and exploiters and those who oppress the Indians, and nothing could be further than the truth.
No.
Because the place where they landed was uninhabited.
Yes.
You know, they landed on a portion of the coastline that previously had been inhabited by tribes there, but due to famine or due to an epidemic that had swept through there.
Yeah, it was an epidemic.
That area had been depopulated. And so when the Pilgrims, when the Mayflower settlers landed on that part of the coast of Massachusetts, they didn't take anybody's land. They were landing in an uninhabited wilderness area.
In fact, it's really neat, but God had provided a help for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because a young man had been taken from that tribe and taken to Spain and then to England. And he came to the Lord during his travels in Europe and decided he wanted to come back to where he was born. And he made it back to find that his entire tribe had been wiped out. And when the Pilgrims landed there, they went through a really hard time because they landed at the wrong time of year.
Yeah.
And it was a very long time before they had a harvest. And Squanto helped them, and it was really neat because they land there, and here is a man who has lost all of his relations, and he's looking for a home. He's looking for people to be in fellowship with, and they need help, and they need guidance, and he spoke English.
He'd learned English, and you see how God had preserved his life, because if he had stayed there, he probably would have died with the rest of his tribe. And in saving his life, God prepared him to preserve the life of the next group of Christians that would come to these shores.
Yes.
And the
people who took him from there probably meant it for evil.
But God
eventually meant it for good. He freed him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, should they have taken him? No.
No.
But God turned that around in his life and actually used it for good for him and for his brothers and sisters in Christ.
And the second point of that is that the first generation Pilgrim settlers treated the Indians as fellow human beings, not as a lesser species, not as people to be wiped out or oppressed, but they said, okay, there are certain principles of justice. You know, if a person is accused of a crime, he gets a trial, and he gets a trial there in his locality with his peers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we trade fairly for land or for belongings back and forth. And those kind of principles, which, frankly, were not widely practiced in North America.
No, and you know, they went through a horrible time.
Mm-hmm.
They called it the dying time. And a huge percentage of the Pilgrim colony was wiped out. But they still kept their faith. They still kept their principles. They still behaved like Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that when they declared a day of Thanksgiving, when the harvest finally came in, they declared a day of Thanksgiving, the Indian tribes surrounding them, the Native Americans, came and celebrated with them.
They were invited.
They were invited. They came. They brought stuff. They all celebrated together. And it was interesting to me because I hear people debating things. You know, is it right to feast? Is it right to do sports and things? They had shooting matches. They had foot races.
Mm-hmm.
They had all kinds of sports. They had a feast. So
that lasted several days.
Yes. It's interesting
yeah.
because football on Thanksgiving, actually, they didn't play football, but they played other games, has some historical antecedents.
Isn't that funny? That is quite so. And, you know, it's good to remember these things and to talk about just God's incredible providential dealings with this group of settlers. They were not the only people, the only Englishmen that settled here. I mean, but just this is such a significant settlement, and it was such a departure from, I mean, look at the Jamestown settlement. That was more of, let's establish the nobility, let's establish the feudal system in America, that kind of, you know, that whole sort of culture. In Virginia was very different than the culture that settled Massachusetts. The Pilgrims first, and a few years later, the Puritans coming in and settling in the Boston area.
Well, the reason that the Mayflower people and the Plymouth Colony is considered so significant is they were really the philosophical fathers of America.
Mm-hmm.
That in the Mayflower Compact and in the way they handled mm-hmm. their self-government, they were really the philosophical founding fathers.
And you know what? It is perfectly fine to acknowledge that we haven't lived up to our founding principles at all times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a historical fact.
Sure.
We don't have to sugarcoat it, but neither do we throw it all out and say
yeah.
it's all poison, because it's not. The fact of the matter is, people who were seeking to follow God, who were seeking to live biblically ordered lives, came to this country, settled here, lived out those principles, and they formed a foundation for the way of seeing life in this continent as a self-governing people under the authority of Scripture,
yeah.
following the principles of Scripture, even if you didn't follow, if you didn't choose to follow the religion of Scripture, the principles
yeah.
there.
Now, let's talk a bit about the more practical side of it, because I think one of the reasons we don't share these stories with our kids like we ought to is we are so overwhelmed with all the work and the busyness. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we wrote our book, Christ-Centered Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
to help people. You know, it's a real mixture. People say, what is it? Well, it's a Thanksgiving planner, and it's a recipe book, and it's a history unit study. And, you know, it's a bunch of different things, because we realize it's really all tied together.
Yeah, and you're quite right. And you know what? Again, this is nothing new. Look at Mary and Martha in Scripture. You know, that the one is there celebrating the presence of Jesus personally, and the other one is doing all of this hard work, putting together the celebration. You know, she's putting together the feast, she's putting together the meal, she's taking care of all that stuff in the kitchen, and missing out the better part. And so why can we not get this all together and organize the celebration aspect in such a way that we've got, if you will, the leisure to remember and to teach?
Okay, so how do we do that? I think planning is a critical part of that.
Uh-huh.
And that's one reason that we put the planning charts in Christ-Centered Christmas. Because first, we need to be thinking right now, okay, what can I do to prepare our children's hearts for gratefulness?
Yeah, because really, I mean, the first thing we got to do is remember that there's a meaning to this other than the food.
Right.
And the second thing is, how are we going to teach that meaning to our kids? Because we have that responsibility. And All right. Well, like coming into Thanksgiving, we've got a few weeks now from the time that we're publishing this. How do you prepare? Well, you start talking about it with the kids.
Start talking about it. Get some books from the library and read about the pilgrims. Tell them the stories of our country's founding. And also focus on the thankfulness part. Like, you know, we give some ideas in our book about the Thanksgiving tree. You know, one year we started putting up a Thanksgiving tree and putting things we were thankful for on the leaves. We need to get the girls cutting those out.
It's time to get started.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, preparing their hearts. The Pollyanna would be a good thing to listen to again.
Yeah.
You know, because it teaches gratefulness and thankfulness. But we want to prepare our hearts for it. And then we need to be thinking about the practical stuff. Like, you know, one thing I do is I look at the whole week of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I say, okay, is there anything that could be done Monday instead of doing it Thursday?
Yeah.
You know, is there anything that could be done 4 days in advance? And there are a few things.
If your celebration aspect is going to culminate with the biggest meal of the entire year on Thursday afternoon,
yeah.
How do you get there? It doesn't start Thursday morning.
No, it starts the earlier. And so things like, I love to make homemade cranberry sauce and I love to make cranberry relish. Those can be done on Monday perfectly easily.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they could be done before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I think, okay, well, Tuesday is 2 days ahead. What can be done 2 days ahead? And, you know, some of the prep work, if you're going to grate cheese, that can be done. You know, cooking fillings and things can be done.
If you're making your dressing from scratch, then you need to have biscuits done early in the week.
Biscuits and cornbread. That can be done on Monday. Yeah,
because stale bread is the best kind for that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I break it down and think, okay, what can I do each day so that I'm not crazed Wednesday night, I'm not crazed Thursday morning, and also wrapping my kids up in it because, you know, they enjoy it more when they're participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to let go because I'm a perfectionist when it comes to cooking.
Yeah.
And I really struggled with, you know, letting a child take a dish and run with it. What if they mess it up? What if they don't do it perfectly? What if it doesn't look great?
Yeah, but when are they going to learn it?
You know, that's how they learn it. And as I've let go of some of those things and when they say, hey, do you mind if I cook the macaroni and cheese? Yes, in the South, macaroni and cheese pie is always on Thanksgiving, okay?
Yep.
You know, if somebody says, well, can I put together the dressing? Well, why not? I can taste it before it goes in the oven. I can adjust the seasonings.
Yeah.
You know, but getting the kids involved reduces my stress, helps them. But setting it all out in a very orderly way, and especially scheduling Thursday morning. So I know what needs to go in at what time, what needs to be done at what time, just reduces my stress tremendously because I'm not running around trying to think of a million things while the guests are coming in the door and the table needs to be set and, you know, I know what needs to happen when.
You know, you don't have to be a super organized person to make this happen. You know, just like you may eat simply and light all year long and have this one day where you eat everything in celebration. Well, it's the same way. You may be super flexible. You may do everything spontaneous all year long, but to make this happen on Thanksgiving Thursday, that may be your one big fit of organization for the whole year. And that's fine. That's great. That's a good thing, really. And so, we want to encourage you on that. Don't feel like you've got to change your entire life just to do this, manage this a little tighter on for 1 week.
I usually do not schedule things. I'm a pretty spontaneous person, but I want things to turn out right on Thanksgiving. We love to eat. We love the feast.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to enjoy it. And I want everything to be hot at the same time. And the cold thing's cold and the hot thing's hot. And so to do that, I don't have a way other than planning it and scheduling it. Mm-hmm. And I know that's really daunting if you've never done that yourself. And I want to encourage you, if you have never been the host for Thanksgiving for your family, please consider doing that.
That, you know, and that's an important thing because you think, how can we, you know, how can we have more of a Christ-centered holiday? Realistically, you may have a hard time doing that if somebody else is putting on the celebration.
And so one thing we found really helps is that if we're hosting it, then we control the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can focus more on the Lord, focus the conversation and the activities more on the Lord.
Yeah.
And when we do that, it really pays off. And what we found is that as we've established these traditions, we have a bunch of traditions in our house. Mm-hmm. We have a child read the poem Five Kernels of Corn, and we remind people about the starving time in Plymouth. And we've seen that even our friends and family that don't know the Lord or that aren't right with the Lord appreciate those traditions. In fact, they love them and they want us to do them.
I think God put a hunger in us for certain times of celebration and a formal, almost a ritual.
Yeah.
You know, tradition, I think, is very important. And in our society, there's so much cynicism and people try to throw off so many traditions that I think it leaves a void in a lot of people's lives.
Yes.
And a lot of folks who, even those who seem to have run away from the traditions of their youth, they miss them. Yeah. And if somebody invites them back in, it's amazing how they respond.
Well, I remember one year, I believe it was Thanksgiving, inviting everybody to our house. And I remember suggesting we have a hymn sing afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And was roundly mocked, and we ignored them, and went ahead and passed out stuff.
Did it anyway.
And I remember my grandfather, who had almost never talked about his growing up years, starts crying while we're singing one of the hymns. And I said, "Pop Ray, what's the matter?" And he said, "It just seems so sweet. I remember us singing when I was a little kid with my parents." And he said, "It just seems so sweet to me." And I would have never even known they did that if we hadn't ignored the mockery and done it.
And in fact, did it because we said, this is a good thing and we want our children to experience it.
And I remember another time in another Thanksgiving celebration, and I think it was my mother this time suggested, "Well, why don't we pray together?" And we had a family member there who tends to kind of mock us for being believers. And yet this family, we got ready to pray and everybody bowed their head, and this family member bowed her head and said, and then said, "Could you pray about my husband's job?" And what a tender opportunity to bless them and to pray for them. And I don't know that they would have ever asked us in another situation.
You know, the holidays are a very rich time, not only for our own benefit, but for those around us. And we're going to be talking about that in an upcoming episode, about how you can use the holidays as a personal outreach of your family to your neighborhood.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about that, I think, next week on the schedule. But anyway, people listen in all different orders. So if you haven't seen that already, look through the index.
I think it's going to be called Reaching Your Neighborhood with Caroling.
How about that? Yeah. So, you know, I guess kind of to wrap this up, we want to have more of a Christ-centered holiday season. You know, we want to have all the celebration you can handle, but we want to remember the reason we celebrate is because God has blessed us.
Yes.
Because God gave us a Savior, and God has given us a life, and God has given us a free country, and we want to remember Him as we enjoy all of these blessings again. You know, the things we remember why we celebrate. We take the time to teach that to our children. Don't assume that they're going to pick it up, because they won't.
Yeah.
And do what we need to do to plan ahead to make the celebration aspect go smoothly enough that we have two brain cells left to rub together to talk about the reason we're doing all of this.
Honestly.
And so we want to encourage you. We've got some resources available.
Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We want to do more than just encourage you during this time. We'd like to bless you by giving you a copy of our book, a downloadable copy of our book, Christ-Centered Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to put it up on the site so you can order a hard copy soon, okay? But for right now, we'd like to give you a downloadable copy. And I think it'll be a blessing to you because it is, like I said, it's a Thanksgiving planner. It's a recipe book. It's a unit study. It has Thanksgiving proclamations from the past that you can read
mm-hmm.
to your kids. It has the poem that we use. It tells about the Thanksgiving tree. It even has Thanksgiving hymns and their history. And there's some fascinating history behind them that you can sing with your kids, and song sheets you can print out so that everybody can sing after the meal.
That's a tremendous resource. And it's so good to have it all gathered together.
Yes.
And if you want more, you just follow the footnotes and you can go research all you want and add to it. But this will get you started. This will help you put Christ at the center of this celebration again.
And this is how much we love it. We use it ourselves.
Well, once you gather it all together, that's why you use it.
all the time with our own family. So if you will go to raisingrealmen.com/Thanksgiving gift.
Okay.
If you will sign up for our newsletter there, it'll take you to a free download of Christ-Centered Thanksgiving. And if you've already signed up for our newsletter, don't despair. Just enter your email again. It won't add you twice, but it'll let you download it. Because we'd like for you to have this resource. We really think that this will help your family glorify God during the Thanksgiving season.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that about wraps us up again. We want to thank you for joining us for making biblical family life practical. And until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.